Psalm 136 today. We have a trilogy of songs that we're going to get into. I don't know how long we'll take in that to accomplish the three, but we're going to go 136 through 138. They all have the theme of God's love, His loving kindness in particular, His mercy enduring forever. Psalm 136 begins with that. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. That's what you're going to hear repeated through this particular song, and you'll see a connecting point all the way in Psalm 138. Look at the last verse there. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. This is what we opened up with, our word of truth this morning that we stood up in. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. So that's our anchor in our study going forward in these three songs, is the verse beginning in Psalm 136 and the verse ending in Psalm 138, that God's mercy, His loving kindness endures forever. We're going to cover a lot of material from the creation to all sorts of difficult things even. Resounding, presiding, significant theme is that His mercy endures forever. Don't be distracted. Don't be taken off by different things that are happening around you. Focus on that. The mercy of the Lord endures forever. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. We begin with that verse, and that's one side of the anchor. This is a two-hooked anchor, and our anchor isn't down, it's up. A Christian's anchor is not down, it's up. It's always, we're anchored in heaven. Our hope is in heaven, the kingdom of heaven, God and all His promises. One of those sides of that hook, and you know, your standard anchor there has got those two hooks, is going to be verse 1 there, then the ending verse in 138. Verses 2 through 4 bring out the Father, Son, and Spirit to us and beginning to discuss God's creative power. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, lowercase g, referring to all the things that man lifts up as God. For His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His mercy endures forever. That's actually in the song on every verse, so don't think I'm just adding that or being repetitive. It's in there for a purpose and a reason. It's because His mercy endures forever. Here you see in these 2, 3, and 4, you see the Father God, and you see the Holy Spirit, and you see the Lord there. The Lord Jesus Christ in verse 3, the Lord of lords, King of kings. Verse 4, to Him who alone does great wonders, for His mercy endures forever. So the great wonders of God expressed through the Holy Spirit. The work of God, the work of Christ when He was down here was always expressed by the Holy Spirit. The silent partner, the Father, Son, and Spirit. We see that all the way back in Genesis as we break into the verses about creation. The Holy Spirit hovering over the waters. You see in the baptism of Christ, Father saying, "This is My Son in whom I am well pleased." The Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus. Jesus casting out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father and Son and Spirit working together here in the creation and in us. The first verse, verse 5, having to do with this creation, has to do with outer space, the heavens. All sorts of heavens layers, the ones that the bird flies in, and then you have to your space and whatever's beyond that. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endures forever. Genesis begins with the idea of the formless void and all of this space that God would create, kind of the canvas of His creation, the space that's out there. Formless void, it's described as in Genesis, and it causes great consternation of our modern scientists as they scratch their head trying to understand what even empty space is. We know there's something there that's actually there. It's not nothing. empty space is not empty. And it's God's canvas, and we're trying to understand what that really is. There's properties to this something we call space. Very interesting. You'll hear terms like dark matter, dark energy. Has anybody heard of that before? Those are just terms and labels that scientists would give something they don't understand. So it's dark. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's actually dark. It's dark from our understanding, but they believe most of the universe, we're talking like 90-some percent, is stuff that we don't even know what it is. We can't see it. We know it's there because it's acting on other things. It's causing the universe to be held together. Does this sound familiar? Very interesting. So just in the first verse here, by wisdom he's made the heavens, the whole space and everything around us. His mercy endures forever. Verse 6, now bringing it down to earth. And you see Genesis kind of flow out that way. The heart of God, the central point of his creation is going to be on earth. Everything else was kind of like a snap of a finger. Doesn't seem like he spent much time doing it or description of it. The earth is really where he focused a lot of that. And of course, that's where he would plant us. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. Now, you notice that in these things that we're talking about, what does this have to do with mercy, or his loving kindness enduring forever? What is the earth? What is outer space, dark energy, and molecules, and atoms, and stars, and nebulas, and galaxies? What does that have to do with God's love? Good question. There isn't a direct tie there, but there is a connection. Wherever we go and the things we're understanding and probing and spending our time in, we need to know that presiding over that is that God's loving kindness endures forever, and not to lose the forest and the trees. We could spend our lives studying something. There was one scientist that spent 40, 50 years just studying snowflakes. Seriously. Snowflakes. He was a German scientist, and I think he did some other things as well, but this was a big part of his fascination. It was how snowflakes can be unique and how beautiful they are. Gorgeous. You've probably seen the microscopic blow-ups of snowflakes, and you're just like, wow! That's incredible! And then they just melt away. They're gone. There's 100 billion stars in our galaxy, and just one snowfall of a good snowfall of a foot in a postage stamp front yard, 10 foot by 10 foot, there's 100 billion snowflakes. All unique and beautiful that you could just look at for a long, one of them, just look at for a long time and be fascinated. Somehow or another, that speaks to us that his mercy endures forever. Maybe a tie into Isaiah, where Isaiah is talking about, oh, your sins might be heavy, man. It might be going on and you feel defeated. But the promise is that your sins will be washed under his blood and made white as snow. They may be crimson, but white as wool. That God will cover over, and he's put you into a place and a fellowship to demonstrate that his love covers a multitude of sin. It's exciting. It hasn't entered into the mind of man or the heart of man what is before us, discovering this loving kindness of God. If we could just think of the individual nature of each snowflake and the 100 billion that are just out there in a little patch, and that we'll be discovering these little facets of God's mercy and loving kindness forever. The beauty of it. And all of that covers the evil that's inside of us, the sin and all of that. God's love is so much greater than our struggle and our sin. In 1 John it says, even when your heart condemns you, your heart is saying, you're a jerk, you're a sinner, you're a loser. It says, God is greater than that voice. He's greater than your own heart condemning itself. God is greater than that. His love endures forever. His loving kindness, his mercy endures forever. So the earth, the waters, water is such a beautiful substance. We can spend a lot of time just talking about that. But just the fact that we live on such a watery ball, 75% of the earth is just water. If you were to smooth out all the water, the whole earth would be a mile deep underwater. That means some places are 5 miles deep of water. If you were to spread that out across the earth, the whole earth would be covered a mile deep in water. And that's just the oceans. That's not the majority of the water the earth has. They just discovered in 2014, down 250 miles in between that, between the two upper and lower mantles, there's this huge water basin. And there's such pressure that it's just absorbed right into the granite down there, into the rock. So the rock, this tough rock, like marble, has become a, like sponge of water. And there's more water there than there is on the top of the earth. It gives credence to the flood that it says, where the fountains of the deep broke up, and that released a lot of water up above. And everything kind of got watery up here and went under during that time, but very watery planet. It talks about the earth being above the waters. If you were to drill down pretty much anywhere, what are you going to find? You're going to find some fresh water. That's what I had for breakfast this morning. 90 feet down, there's a well. Brought it right up to my kitchen sink. That was my breakfast. Very good. I remember a fella, he's just a very simple guy. And I mean, super simple guy as far as like not needing a lot of fancy things, but very smart. And he was so excited when Joe Medvey was his name. He's gone with the Lord a long time ago, but this was when I was growing up. I was a young fellow. He'd bring me into the house and he would just describe his water. He just lived very simply. And I was like, this is from under the ground. And he'd tell me how it was filtered and how God provided the clay and the sand and just taste this water. And he'd make it sound so good. That's where I got that from. He'd make it sound so wonderful. And it was. It really is. It was delicious water that had been filtered in God's beautiful system. So the earth above the waters, his mercy endures forever. There's 1,000 times more fresh water just in that water table underneath us. There's water underneath us right now. There's 1,000 times more fresh water underneath us than there is in the lakes above and the polar caps and all of that. I love this stuff. Verse 7 brings us to another. We just can't give enough time to these topics. To him that made the great lights, for his mercy endures forever. How much time should we spend on light? We could spend weeks on this. We could spend months. We could spend our lives on understanding how beautiful and wonderful light is. But I'll keep it real simple today. I woke up and coming through the blinds was some beautiful bluish hues, and I knew there was sunshine happening. And that blue sky isn't produced that blueness by itself. That blue comes from the sun. It comes from the sun. It's one of the colors that's emanating from the sun. There isn't blue paint up there. That blue light comes from the sun, and it's scattered above us. And it caused a bird that was behind, as Gretchen is practicing, getting ready for worship. She's in the bedroom, the door closed, I'm out. In the other room, and she's saying, "You got to come in. You got to see it." She stops playing, and "You got to see this bluebird in the back. It's so blue." And she stopped everything we brought in. We were just looking at a bluebird for a little bit. So light. This is very simple. I could spend a lot of time on that one. I wanted to keep it real light and simple there, but just the color blue and the beauty of that. God showing us that this morning. Now, verses 8 through 9, God's bringing something else about his creation to us, and that's that there's purpose to things. Look at verses 8 through 9 there. 8 and 9. The sun to rule by day, a key word there, rule, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. So God just didn't create things like a painter might throw some things. We're at the wedding yesterday. Roger and I were trying to figure out what this one painting was in the back all the way of the building there. It's like, is that a sailboat or is that a crash sailboat or is that a somebody just threw paint on some canvas or something like that? We want to know what the purpose and what the meaning is. You know, what was behind the artist's heart? And Dottie brought that up with one of the songs. She brought a greater meaning into the song when you knew the story behind it. There was a sick child. There was a church that united under it. A song was born from the Holy Spirit. That just brings power and meaning and purpose to the song. It's just not words, not emotionalism. There's meaning, there's purpose to things. We're still not sure about that picture at the wedding venue, but we know that God has purpose to these things. They're to the rule. They're to cause order in our universe. Isn't it fascinating that you're sitting on a planet now that seems very still? It is not still. That's totally an illusion. Our fastest fighter jet, I think, is Mach 5, and that's like an experimental one. Our F-15s and so forth run about Mach 3, that's, I don't know, close to 2,000 miles an hour or whatever. This Earth is moving at Mach 87. A bullet moves at Mach 3. We're moving at Mach 87. That's 87 times the speed of sound. This Earth and its rotation around the sun. Do you feel it? But it's the sun that brings this rule. It brings this gravitational pull and causes this order and perfect balance. Not only that, are we moving 20 times faster than a bullet around the sun, we're rotating, we're spinning on our axis at Mach 1, 1,000 miles an hour, 24-hour spin. The moon also being brought up here is the things that give rule, how that exerts its gravity on us and causes the bulging of the oceans and things to, tides to happen and life to be possible. They call this the Goldilocks planet. There's lots of things. We could lose the forest and the trees and our fascination of these things, but we need to know that these things express a loving God, that his mercy endures forever, that there's purpose even beyond the order that he designed, beyond the purpose of these things. Is to show us and express and declare the glory of God. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. Now he's going to move into the next verses, which have to do with his interaction with his creation, specifically us. Remember last week we talked about the lightning strike. The curse had come over creation. Man was disobedient. Man fell. We're now in a fallen world. You didn't know that. In the lightning strike, God's rescue to us is very specific. If we could see it in that focus, it makes everything come into more clear understanding. It's less confusing. But why is this happening? Why is this and all of this? We understand that we're in a fallen world, and God has struck earth with the gospel and sent his son. It makes all of these things and these difficult things to understand come more clear. Otherwise, we have this kind of concept like everything's always been, and like, why is this happening? And why did God judge Egypt like this and take the firstborn? These are difficult passages. These are difficult things to do, and you'll have an atheist pick something out like that and say, why is your God like that? You cherry pick a few things. In the whole picture and the whole scheme, we need to know that the mercy of God endures forever. Now, everything he does is because of that, that his mercy endures forever. Him striking earth, bringing the Christ to earth was to rescue us and to save us. All the ripples and all the, the thundering, everything that's happened along those lines is a result of God's love and his mercy enduring forever. They do connect. When you have a bigger picture and a bigger understanding, it makes a whole lot of sense. When you're just not looking at one tree and one event and one thing like that, you can come up with some weird ideas. And people could kind of lead you astray and say, look at that, what God does right there. Look at that. And therefore, God is this. Watch out for that. Send our kids to college these days and they slay them in these verses. They slay them. We have abortion working on one side. The kids coming, you know, out of the womb if they can get out. And then we send them to college. If they didn't get killed there, they slay them there. Taking little things like this and killing our children with. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever. We need to know that the judgments of God and everything that's been done on this earth is to rescue, is to save, is to reverse the curse, is to bring back the purpose of our existence, which has been lost. Everything has purpose. It's not just a creation to exist. It's to have purpose and function to bring glory to God. And brought out of Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. With a strong hand, with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, two parts, for his mercy endures forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever. Has God ever put you in a situation? Roger was talking about, I think it was Roger, but somebody was saying he brings us through it sometimes. There's sometimes God delivers us out of it. He plucks us out. Sometimes it's through things that he brings, allows us to go through it, and we see his power and strength through it. But he overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. So he's rescuing one, and now he's going to bring judgment on the others, the pursuers. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. A difficult time. It seemed like this is never going to end. When is this going to end? When is this going to end? Year one, year two, year three, all the way to year 40. God's promise never stopped. Even in their failure, in their wanderings, going in circles, God's promise doesn't stop. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endures forever. That's striking them down. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. Names these actual kings. Sihon, the king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. And gave their land for a heritage, for his mercy endures forever. The birth of the nation, the physical geography of Israel. Even a heritage unto Israel, his servant, his mercy endures forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endures forever, and has redeemed us from our enemies. That's that rescue. That's the lightning strike to earth. A people, a purpose, and a passion, his love for us. Him choosing Israel. Him choosing a person, Jesus Christ. Him choosing a place, Jerusalem, Zion, all of this to rescue us. He has redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever. We need to know that there is an enemy. There's two kingdoms. There's an embrace everything and love everybody in that sense of accepting everything. There's an enemy that seeks to destroy. We need to protect our kids. We need to protect our communities, our church. We need to look after each other. There's an enemy that seeks to destroy. Who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. I think we'll finish in two particular chapters interjected in this trilogy from Isaiah. Isaiah 40, I'm sorry, not Psalm 40, to the right. Isaiah 40 and Isaiah 47 will help us understand Psalm 137, which is a very difficult psalm. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, completed, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, that's the spirit of Elijah, that's the reception of Christ to this earth, that's that lightning strike hitting earth. The voice said, cry, and he said, why shall I cry? All flesh is grass. And the goodliness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God shall stand forever. The word of God shall stand forever. And that's what you're seeing repeated as we're going through this passage in Psalm 136, is God endures his faithfulness, his loving kindness, his promises, his word. God endures. We fall, we get up, God endures. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that brings good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Remember all the songs of ascent that we just went through. That's the call of the believers. That's the call of the Christians. Let's come together. Let's lift each other up. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, all the water we just talked about, and meted out the heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed out the mountains in scales, and hills in a balance. It's the picture of God forming things here, and him being so much bigger than all of this. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, has taught him? That's a question, by the way. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord or been his counselor and taught him? I'll raise my hand. I've tried to educate God on a lot of things. Part of repentance and part of our salvation is surrendering that judgment of God. Letting God be God and us getting off the throne. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? This was the struggle of Peter when he had revelation from God, doing great, right? That this is the Christ, this is the Messiah, awesome. That's where you need to live, right there, in revelation from God, being taught from him, receiving from above. Just a moment later, he turns around and rebukes Jesus, educating God. Because the cross doesn't make sense. No, that's not the plan. It can't be pain. It can't be that. We can't be humiliated like this and have our beard plucked out and have stripes on our back. It can't go this way. That doesn't make sense to me. Therefore, it's not holy. Peter was where? He was on the throne of God when he was rebuking Jesus. Our salvation is a dethroning process. It's realizing that we were just in diapers not too long ago. Even if you're, 55 like I am or older, it wasn't that long ago that we were in diapers, running around, looking around with drool coming out of our mouth. wasn't that long ago. We shouldn't act like we're super intelligent people of the universe. We should have a spirit of humility about us, a teachable spirit, ready to receive that revelation from God, not judging everything because it doesn't sound right or it sounds painful. Allowing God to be on the throne and believing in Him in the worst of things. When you do that, your eyes are open to what God is doing. They're not closed anymore. Behold, your eyes become open. You'll see what He's doing. And it's beautiful. It's one of the snowflakes out there in the billions of His mercy that endures forever. This seems like a good place to stop. We're about halfway through this particular series on His mercy enduring forever.
Sorry about the water. When I was growing up, where I grew up, we had a well that was 28 feet down. And my dad, it seemed like everywhere we go, if the water was brought up, he'd say, yeah, we got the best water on the road. He would explain how the same thing, how it was filtered through the sand. And it was only 28 feet down. It was just a memory I had.
Good memory. Yeah. Awesome. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray together. Let's agree in prayer this morning. And that actual song would be a response song that we just read, where the people would say, His mercy endures forever. So I'm going to say a few things, and then you'll reply with, His mercy endures forever. Let's say it all together so we see if we can get it right. Everybody's tired. Ready? One, two, three. His mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ.
His mercy endures forever.
Thank you. Lord, surely in her situation, in her struggle right now, Lord God, with the pain medication being pumped in and all of this going on, Lord, we don't understand it, but we know that You are awesome, God. Your mercy endures forever. Lord, the situation going on with Roger's brother now, Lord God, he's in his hospice care. Roger is up all night. He hasn't had a minute of sleep. I appreciate that being here this morning. He had every right to just go to sleep, go to bed. I really appreciate that. It means a lot. I know God does. That's what's more important. And there's a lot of us that are very tired and come out here. And so that's, I'm sure God appreciates that.
His mercy endures forever.
We live in a country that's very divided, and there's a lot of tension right now. Be careful with that, to fall in the trap of the tension. Why?
His mercy endures forever.
Our kids have been struggling. There's been a lot of sickness going on, and that can weigh on us and families and things like that. But we need to know.
His mercy endures forever.
Very good. I think we're getting the idea. All right. Things change in our family. Was once a daughter, is now a daughter and a son-in-law, right? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We give You glory and praise, and thank you, Lord. And we thank You for Your word. It sure does stir into us good things, Lord, and causes us to grow and keep going forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.